Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Today's Daf Yomi is Shkolim Yud. We are right on top on the first line of the Gemara. Well, let's refer back to the Mishnah for a moment. We discussed the Minchas Ha'omer brought on the seventh year, on Shemitah, where we don't really have much supply to provide for the Omer. The Mishnah tells us we use Sfichim after growth. We find some randomly growing stalks of barley, and we reserve it for the carbon by placing some shomrim, some guards near that produce. We pay them. This way, they are watching it for our sake, and it's considered our produce. It belongs to the tzibur. And this way, they can bring the minchas omer. Rabbi Yishai says, you know what? They can actually volunteer their services. Watch it for free. Shomer chinam. The Chacham responded, oh, we have a concern with that. If they're doing it for free, then they're really going to be zoiche in that hefker, and then when they give it to us, it's their own private supply. And you know that you can't use private supply for a public carbon. Rabbi Yishai apparently is not concerned. Then Mefarshim explained, according to Rabbi Yishai, well, they'll hand it over to us completely, wholeheartedly, granted to the tzibur, in which case it's considered a carbon tzibur. That was the discussion at the end of the Mishnah. Begins the Gemara, Ma ra zman atzei kohanim ve'om lihimanis. This is a discussion in Maseches Tanis. We have a list of various days on which there were some donations. What type of donations? Firewood donations to the Beis HaMikdash. There was zmanim where certain families would regularly donate firewood to the Beis HaMikdash. And that was considered their Yom Tov. Mishnah gives us a full list of Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am, the time where the Kohanim and the Am would donate firewood for the Karbanis. What's the point of mentioning those days? What's so special about those days? Ma ro'o Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am Limanis. What's the big deal to give wood to the Beis HaMikdash? Anybody, if he chooses to be menadei ve'etzim, to donate firewood, to donate etzim, the Gemara speaks later about a person, instead of giving a carbon, so he donates some wood, which is actually put on the mizbeach as a carbon. So what's the big deal? Why did we specifically mention those days? Explains the Gemara, there is special significance to those days. Ela b'shoah she'olu Yisrael minagoyla. When Yisrael arrived from Golas, and they were very poor, firewood was short in supply. They didn't find firewood in the firewood chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. And these families stepped forward. They donated their own personal wood to the Beis HaMikdash. They handed it over to the Tzibur. And they used that firewood for the sake of Karbanis Tzibur. Chacham said, well, since you came through in the clutch in time of need, you're going to have priority all throughout the Doris. V'hisnu imohen neviim shebeneim, the neviim amongst Yisrael, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah, conditioned with them. They promised them like this. Shafil lishka malei etzim imati, lishka is filled with firewood. There's no need for your donations. You will still have priority. Even if we have enough, ample supply, v'omdu elu v'nisnad v'etzim mishal atzman, these families should decide to contribute their own wood. Shaloye carbon miskarev, Elo mishalahem tchila. The carbon tzibur will use their wood first. They get priority. So that's why we give a full list in Maseches Tanis of these special days, which were considered days of Yom Tov celebration, which they would mark throughout the Doris. Each family would celebrate on that day. It was like a yard site. That day was their special day on which they would donate etzim to the Mikdash. What do we see? We see from here that a person could donate his own personal stuff to the Mikdash, and we can use it for carbon tzibur. Omar Abiyacha, apparently, who's the author of this sheet? The Rabbi Yosahi. This is sheet of Rabbi Yosahi in our Mishnah. The Rabbi Yosahi Omar, Afa Roitza, Misnatav Shemechinam. Getting back to the Svichan on Shviz, if somebody should decide to do it voluntarily, that's okay. Because we assume that afterwards he will hand it over properly to the tzibur. Just as we see there. They would take their own personal wood and donate it for Karban Tzibur. Apparently, this is following his Shita and his Shita only. Whereas according to Rabbanon, there's always a concern that he won't really hand it over wholeheartedly. So just as by Svichim or Shvith, we have to pay them for their work. We don't want to do it voluntarily because then they have ownership and perhaps they won't. They won't hand it over completely. They'll still want to retain some sort of ownership. They'll want that the Karban Tzibur should be considered theirs. We're always concerned about that, that they won't relinquish ownership completely. And likewise, in the case of firewood, apparently Rabbanu would not agree that any family could get up and donate their own personal supply. Rabbi Yossi, b'shem Rabbi Ila, he said, no, divrei ha'koyli. All agree firewood can be donated by these families. Why? Ma pligin, when does the machlikas apply? Begovishal carbon, only pertaining to the actual carbon. They supply for the oimer or a behema. Avel b'machshir carbon, but when it's something which is only a preparatory element of the carbon, it's a hachana, it's an accessory for the carbon, for instance, firewood. They are all agree, kol al amma moidi, all agree, shumishtane carbon yachad, the carbon tzibur. You can go transfer from a yachad to a tzibur, and we have two reasons explained in the Mefarshim. Firstly, because only when it comes to the actual carbon, the chacham concerned, perhaps he'll still want to retain some sort of personal identity, personal ownership here. He won't actually give it up completely. But when it comes to a accessory, we're not so concerned, and therefore when it comes to wood, for instance, we assume he gives it over wholeheartedly. It's completely given to the tzibur. Another pshat is that a machshir carbon is not ma'akiv if it's not publicly owned. It doesn't disqualify the akrova, and therefore the chacham, we're not concerned about the trance, or perhaps it wasn't given over properly, because at worst case, even if it's privately owned, it doesn't disqualify the akrova. So bottom line, according to this approach, even the Rabban who disagree by Svichei Shvius, and they say you must pay for it, you can't just take it from the donors, that's only because it's an actual carbon. But when it comes to firewood, machshir carbon, we're more lenient, we allow even privately offered donations to be given over to the tzibur. Tani, we're going to have the same conversation over again. Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Isha she'asasa k'sainis lubna. A kohen had a good-hearted mother, she produced a shirt for him for Avoida Nebes HaMikdash. Kshera, he can use it. As long as she hands it over to the tzibur, so the big day kihuna that he's going to wear are technically owned by the tzibur. Amar be'acha, Rabbi Yosi. Apparently, this Braisa is following Shitas Rabbi Yosi, and only Rabbi Yosi, not the Rabbanon. Only Rabbi Yosi. The Rabbi Yosi Omer, as we find Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah, Afar Reitz and Misnad of Shem Rechinam. One can volunteer his services and guard the Svichei Shvius because he will give it over wholeheartedly. Same thing here. We assume she'll hand over this shirt wholeheartedly to the Beis HaMikdash. But according to Rabbanon, there's always a concern that she might hold on to the ownership of this shirt. Response to Gemara, Rabbi Yosi, B'Shem Rabbi Ila. He said, no, Divrei HaKoyli. All agree in this case, it's okay. Even the Rabbanon will be okay with this shirt. Ma pligin, because the machlekes only applies because of shel carbon. With regard to the actual carbon, then the chacham are concerned. Aval machshir carbon, with something that's just a machshir, accessory for a carbon, such as a bigdei kuhuna, kol amma moidi, all agree, shu mishtane, carbon yach lekom etzibur, that we assume that it changed hands from a yach to a tzibur. There's no concern here, as we just explained in the previous gemara. Continues the gemara, masnisen, and there's a girsa, masnisen, messiah, Rabbi Yosi. We have a braisa which supports Rabbi Yosi. What did Rabbi Yosi just tell us? Rabbi Yosi, the Amoyer, that is. He just told us that even the Rabbanu would agree when it comes to things like firewood, which are only machshir to carbon, we're pretty confident that it was given over completely to the Mizbeach, completely to the Tzibur. We have a Braisa which supports it. The Braisa is again referring to those special days on which they would mark, they would celebrate as days of Yom Tov, because those days were designated for their personal contributions of fire to Beis HaMikdash. Oysen HaYam, in those days, Noyahagin, they were relevant, they were observed with Shas Karban. During the time of Karban, meaning when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, Vishalah B'Shas Karban, and even after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, those days are still relevant and observed. Rabbi Yosi Omer, no, Einan Noyahagin El B'Shas Karban Malvad, those days are only kept during the time of Karban and Beis HaMikdash. So what's the raya from here? You see the rabbanon hold that those yomim tovim were still intact, were still in place after the churban. Now let's think for a second. If we're speaking about a person just handing over some wood as a korban, as a private donation, as a korban, as we're going to see Bezis Hashem later on the Masechta, you can do that. You can give an animal, you can give a wood which is burnt on the Mizbeach. Yeah, then on that day, you personally will have a Yom Tov. We discussed this in Maseches Pesachim. The day that a person brings a korban is for him a Yom Tov. It's a day off, day of celebration. But that only applies when he's actually donating, during the time of the korban, when the Beis Hamikdash is standing. The fact that the Braisa, or at least the Shittas Rabbanan and the Braisa here, maintain that those Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am, those special days, firewood donation days, were relevant even after the Beis Hamikdash was no longer standing. Apparently, we're speaking about unique contributions, days in which those families would give over firewood for the Tzibur's use. Those are really significant events. Those were celebrated as Yomim Tovim and lasted even beyond the Beis Hamikdash. So we have a raya that apparently that was the practice in the Beis Hamikdash times. The families would actually donate this firewood supply for the Kabbalah's Tzibur. Apparently there's no concern with handing over your own personal firewood to the Tzibur for Tzibur use. And even the Rabbanon agreed in this case there's no worry because it's just machshiri carbon, and we assume you gave it over completely. Another raya v'oid minadov from the following brisa, where we see that it was actually a masa. We see that there was a story related, which proves the point. You see, halacha highlights the halacha more than just relating the halacha. We see that it was actually carried out practically a masa rav. That what? That those Yomim Tovim were still observed even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So you see that those days had special significance. Those were the days where those families would contribute to the Korban Tzibur by way of their firewood. The Sanya Omer Blezer Rabbi Tzadik. Anu. Hayinu ibnei Sana ben Binyamin. We were part of that family, Sana ben Binyamin family, which contributed with the Beis HaMikdash, on which day? On the 10th day of Av. That was their designated day. And what happened? V'chol Tisha B'Av liyos b'Shabbos. The fast day of Tisha B'Av, that year happened to fall out on Shabbos. V'dachinu oisel matzei Shabbos. And we postponed Tisha B'Av to Sunday, which actually was the day of our Yom Tov, 10th day of Av. So what did we do? There's sort of a conflict here between our Yom Tov and Tisha B'Av, which is a fast day. Now apparently we're speaking after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why else would you fast on Tisha B'Av? So he's describing something that took place after the Beis Hamikdash was no longer standing. And he says, we solved it as follows. V'yinu mis'anin v'le mashlimin. We fasted, but we didn't complete the fasting. So sort of a compromise we struck. We observed Tisha B'Av as a fast day, but we also didn't complete the fast. By doing so, we observed also our Yom Tov. And by the way, this is a mukkar. For the halacha that we actually practice today, if the bris falls out on Tisha B'Av, which is a nitcha to Sunday, then the Baal Bris, the Moel, the halacha is regarding shortening their fast, because when it's also a Yom Tov, we're not mashlim the fast. In any case, we have a raya from here, that those special days, those days of celebration, those Zman Eitzim, carried on even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Apparently, it was a day of special significance, a day in which the Tzibur benefited from the contributors of the Eitzim. We see from here that when it comes to Eitzim, there's no concern about handing it over completely to the Tzibur. Even the Rabbanan agree in this case, we have no fear, we allow them to contribute. So let's summarize this segment of the Gemara regarding giving over your personal korban to the Tzibur. Rabbi Yossi says, we're not concerned that he's going to hold on to it. We assume he's going to give it over yafe yafe, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, yafe yafe. Whereas the Rabbanan say, don't take chances. We can't allow a private person to donate for the korban tzibur. When we speak about machshirei korban, however, then according to the Gemara here, there's no concern. Even the Rabbanan would agree. We assume he gives it over wholeheartedly. We have two examples. firewood, and the big daikon. Continues the Gemara after the parenthesis, Taman Tanin. We learned in a Mishnah in Menachos. Kol Karbonis HaYachad HaTzibu, all private and public Karbonis, Bo'im Na Oretz Menachutz La'aretz. It can be supplied using produce from Eretz Yisrael, or from out of Eretz Yisrael, whether we're speaking about grains from Menachos, whether we're speaking about animals, it's okay. Menachadosh, Menachyashin, you can use fresh produce, this year's crop, or last year's crop. We have no limitations. Except chutz min ha'omer u'shteh alechem. Except for these two, the omer brought on the 16th of Nisan, shteh alechem brought on Shavuos, she'en boin el menachadosh. They can only be brought from the new crop. By omer it says mincha chadosh. Chadosh has to be something new, u'min ha'aretz from Eretz Yisrael. This is the shita of Rabbi Shmo. There's another shita there who disagrees. It says it can be brought even from chutz la'aretz. But this mission reflects Rabbi Shmo, who holds that the Omer must be supplied from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chuna, b'shem Rabbi Yirmiya, said, the Rabbi Shmuel, apparently this Mishnah reflects Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, ein ha'omer ba min Asuria. You can't supply the Omer, barley, from something which was grown outside Eretz Yisrael, for instance, Syria, which is today's Syria, and certainly not beyond Syria. The Chiddush is, even Syria, which was annexed to Eretz Yisrael, does not qualify as a supplier for the Omer. And certainly from outside Syria, from Chutzlat proper, would not qualify. Taman Tanin, we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, Eser Kedusha Zain. There are 10 levels of Kedusha pertaining to lands. Eretz Yisrael Mekadeshes Mekal Arotis. Eretz Yisrael is more Kaddish than all other lands. Umayya Kedushas, in what way does its Kedusha manifest itself? How does it express itself? Shemavin Mimena Ha'omer Vabikurim Mishtelechem. From Eretz Yisrael, and only from Eretz Yisrael, you can bring the Omer, Bikurim Eshtelech. Masha'in Mavin, Kein Mishp Kala Rotzeis, things which cannot be brought from other lands. Who is this Shita? Once again, says the Gemara, Rav Chia B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Shmoili. This apparently is Rabbi Shmoel Amar, Eina Omer, Ba Min Asuria. Omer cannot be brought from anywhere outside Eretz Yisrael. Taman Tanin, we have a mission elsewhere in Shviz. Rabbi Shmoel Omer. The Pasuk here says, Bechorish, Ubakotzer Tishbas, and Shabbos, you must rest, must refrain from plowing and from harvesting. The fact that the Pasuk joins these two things together, says the Rishmo, we have a drasha. What type of cutting is asur on Shabbos? Only something which is arbitrary, which is a non-mitzvah activity. But if it's a mitzvah, you can do it even on Shabbos. Ma chorosh rishus, just as chorosh, plowing, is rishus, it's arbitrary, it's not a mitzvah. Meaning, there's no mitzvah to plow in order to produce omer material. To plow on Shabbos is certainly not allowed in that case. Because if you have produce for your omer, you don't have to go plow lishma for the sake of the plant, plow and plant for the sake of the omer. So chorish is a non-mitzvah. Af katzer rishus. Likewise, when the pasuk says you can't do katzer, we're speaking about rishus, a non-mitzvah katzer. Yotzak tzira omer shu mitzvah, as opposed to cutting for the omer, that's a mitzvah. It's an absolute mitzvah. It's a requirement for today. You must do it on the 16th of Nisan. Therefore, even if it falls on a Shabbos, you do it anyways. So Bishmol learns a drasha like this: the fact that the pasuk mentions two examples, chorish and kotzer, next to each other. The drasha is that what type of kotzer is also to be done on Shabbos? Only if it's a non-mitzvah harvesting. But if it's a mitzvah, such as for the omer, then it's allowed, because the only thing that's usher is something which is similar to chorish. There's no mitzvah to plow for the omer. So chorish is considered rishus, and therefore it's usher. Likewise, a katzer which happens to be rishus is usher. But if it should happen to be a ktsira for the sake of omer, that's not even on Shabbos. That's a rishmol shit. Says the rishmol kedate. Rishmol apparently is in line with his opinion elsewhere. The Rishmol da Amar, Ein Ha'omer Ba Min Asuria. Rishmol tells us that Omer cannot be brought from outside Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, if it's the seventh year, you have to cut the Omer in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's Shemitah. Even though you're not allowed to. On Shemitah, you can't just harvest the way you regularly harvest. So apparently, the mitzvah of Omer overrides Shemitah. Kedaita. This is in line with his opinion, as we just said, the Omar, Yotza Ksiru Aymer Shu Mitzvah. Cutting for the Aymer is Mutar on Shabbos because it's a mitzvah. Meaning, just as according to Yishmael, cutting the Aymer is such a great mitzvah that it overrides Shemitah, it overrides Shabbos as well. Man Tana Shem Shvichin Beshvis Neutron Schorim Trumas Alishka. Whose shita is reflected in the following halacha that we just learned now, Mishnah actually, that the guards, the ones that are safeguarding the svichen on Shemitah, those free-growing stalks meant for the Omer, those guarding the svichen get paid from the Trumas Alishka. Apparently, on Shemitah we cut Eretz Yisrael produce. The Ktziras Oimer overrides Isra Shemitah. Mantan, Shomer Sviches Beshvis, Noitan Schoim Tom Salishka, Bishmali. Apparently, it's a Bishmal. Once again, because according to Bishmal, Ktziras Oimer is a mitzvah which overrides Shemitah Isser and Isser Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosef, no, Divrei HaKoili. Not necessarily Isra Bishmal. Perhaps it's in line with all Shitas. Even the Shita that holds that you can bring the Omer from outside Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the Gemara figures that this Mishnah, which indicates that you're going to cut the Omer material in Eretz Yisrael, is following the line of Rabbi Shmuel. He holds cutting is a mitzvah, and he holds also, let's keep in mind, he holds also that Omer can only be supplied from Eretz Yisrael produce. So that proves that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. Says Gemara, no, not necessarily. Perhaps it's following even the Rabban who holds that, Rabbi Yehuda that holds that Omer can be brought from outside Eretz Yisrael. So why are they cutting in Eretz Yisrael on Shemitah? Le'matzi b'Surya, mivin oisai misvichen shvei Eretz Yisrael. We're speaking about a year which was a drought. They didn't find any supply outside Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that necessitated cutting the svich in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Says Mahein Omer. This Omer maushi zor b'tchila. We just spoke that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the ktsiras Omer overrides the Eretz Shemitah. Suppose he sees there's not going to be any supply this year, even Svichan are unavailable. So for the sake of the Omer, can he actually plow? Can he actually plant on Shemitah? Hahein Omer, ma'oshi yizra b'tchila? Can he go out and plant it l'chatchila and override Isra Shemitah? Because according to Bishmal, you must bring the Omer for Eretz Yisrael, even on Shemitah. Says Gemara, Rabbi Chiya bar Ada, boy, he asked, Kumi Rabbi Mana, from Rabbi Mana, how could he even suggest that you could plant on Shemitah for the sake of the Omer? Loi nimtza ki koimetz al hashirayim she'ina nechalan. Because what's going to happen is like this: the end product of this planting on Shemitah is going to be aser to be eaten by the koyim. Sure, you could use it as a carbon, take the koimetz, take the scoop, put on the mizbeach, but the shirayim, the leftovers of that kumitz, will be inedible because it was produced by a Isra Shvitz, Asa Bachila. So how can you suggest they can bring an Omer from this type of supply? The point of the kumitz is also to be mata the shirayim. That's the way the mincha process works. If the kumitz won't enable the shirayim to be eaten, then the kaimetz is not a properly functioning kaimetz and is also the government's puzzle. Amarleh, he responded, not necessarily. Nase, we treat it kechamisha dvarim, like those five karbanis. Shein bon betuma. We learned this in the Mishnah Pesachim. When the tzibur is tummy, they bring all types of karbanis tzibur. Ve'ein echal betuma. Although they brought betuma, but they're not eating betuma. So the fact that a tzibur is tummy, that overrides the issa of akrav, you can bring it, but you can't eat it. Apparently, eating is not necessary. Here as well, even if you cannot eat the shirayim, the carbon would still be kosher. So the question was, could you plant? The response was, certainly not, because the shirayim would be also in that case. The response to that is, so what? It can still theoretically be a mincha kshira, and really we don't have no resolution on the shayla. Continues the Gemara. Ketzad u'ois. Mishnah tells us you pay the shomer svichen. Give them a salary for watching these stocks designated for Omer supply. How do you pay them? Because you can't take Mois Hegdish and just give it to them. You have to transfer the Kedusha on something tangible, some item. The fact that you're paying them for their effort, that doesn't affect a transfer of Kedusha. So what do you do? Noitel Mois Min HaShulchani. He takes some money from the money changer, from the banker. He asks the banker to lay out some money for these fellows' wages. V'noisin le'koitzrin le'shomrin. And he hands the money to the harvesters and the guards. Achaleikar va'imer, before the imer is brought. That's the first step. Then later, when the Hegdish actually receives delivery of the imer material, umevi mois mitum salishka, then he brings money from tumas salishka, umachalin olav, he transfers the kedusha of the mois halishka onto this grain that arrived in the Beis Hamikdash, something tangible, something in your hand. Now that grain becomes kadosh, and the money loses its kedusha and can be used to pay up the money that the banker laid out for Hegdish. Says Rav Tovas King, is this a proper approach? What's the problem? You see, the Omer works like this. You take a large amount of grain, you chop it up, you crush it, you grind it, and you sift it very well. The end product is a very small quantity, very small amount of barley. You start off with a huge amount, end up with a very small amount, which actually ends up being used for the carbon. Now suppose these guards were entitled to $100 for their effort, because they were guarding this big field. And that's what the banker laid out for them. At the end of the day, when Hegdish takes delivery of the end product, just a small amount, which is worth $10. We're trying to take Trumas Talmishka money according to the amount of money we owe the Shomer, which is $100, and be machal that Kedusha on something which is only worth $10. How does that work? But Tovas Kane, is this an approach? He says, well, yeah. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Po. He answers like this. Kol ma sheyitin. Whatever he ends up paying the laborers for their effort, suppose in this case it's $100. Hein hein damav mishar rishayna. This was predetermined to be considered the value of the end product. So they sort of inflated the price of the end product. Initially, this was the mindset. We're going to treat the value. We're going to give value to the end product in accordance with the money that we owe the shomer. So in our mind, the end product is worth $100. Because really, all that effort went into producing that product. Therefore, it's justified to do so. To take $100, be machal on this small amount of flour, even though technically it's only worth 10, but to us it's worth 100. We transfer the kedusha of $100 to this flour. Now we have money which is no longer Hegdish, and we hand that back to the banker on account of the wages for the workers. Continues Gemara basically repeating the same discussion. Tana, af befasochei avonim kein. We do the same system when it comes to the stone cutters, the ones that would hew the stones out of the quarries. Same question applies there. How can we take mamon of Hegdish and just hand it to the workers without anything tangible in return? Ketzad oisit. So what do? Noitel mois mishulchani v'noisein. We take money from the shulchani and we hand it to the lechaitzvin, to the stone hewers, the satatin, and to the stone cutters, actually to nasan al gabadimus, before they even put it on the wall, on the row, before they build it into the Beis Hamikdash. So first we'll lay out their wages, umishanit and al dimus, once it arrives onto the wall, maybe mois from tumas alishka. Now we have something tangible in our hands, we take money from tumas alishka, umichal alea, and we transfer the kedusha onto that brick, and we hand the money back to the bank. V'tavis kein, how can he do that? The same question applies here, because the wages exceeds the value of the stone. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Bon, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. The same answer as before. Kol mashayitim, whatever he's going to hand over as wages, heinein domeh, that's considered the value of the stone. Mishar Rishoyna. Initially, this was the mindset. So let's summarize the last piece of Gemara. We brought Rabbi Shmuel's Shita, that the Omer, the Alechem, can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel tells us the Ktsiris Omer is Doicha Shabbos, it's Doicha Shmita. And we had a question whether you can actually plant on Shvius if needed. We left it unresolved. And we discussed how they are Mechalal the Kedusha for the sake of paying wages. It says the Mishnah Par of Vesor Mishtaleach. We learned earlier that the Truma Salushka was meant for Karbanos Tzibur. That was the designation of the money withdrawn from the Lishka, the chamber which housed all those coins. In this Mishnah, we're going to have another short list of additional items which are very closely related to Karban, types of Karbanos, which also are funded with Truma Salushka. Para, the Paraduma, Vesar Mishtaleach, the goat that was sent out La'azazel, out to the Midbar, thrown down the mountain on Yom Kippur, Veloshin Shal Zahiris, and this thread or this wad of combed red wool, which was used in the Paraduma process. All these items, born with Trumas Halishka, are purchased using Trumas Halishka money. The Chiddush here is, even though the Paraduma is actually shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, and Sar Mishtaleach is certainly tended to outside the Beis HaMikdash, they also are regarded like karbonos, and you purchase it from the Trumas Halishka. Now we're going to have a list of items which are not funded through Trumas Halishka, rather through the Sheyare Halishka, because after they withdrew money from the Lishka, there was lots of money remaining behind. That was called the Shirayim. That money had a lower status. It was downgraded to Shiyore HaLishka, and it was used to supply other, fund other expenses which are Migdash related, as we're going to see. Kevesh Para, the double ramp they would construct on which they would transport the Paraduma from the Beis HaMikdash to the Har HaZeisim to avoid any contact with Tumah. The Kevesh Sar Mishtaleach, the ramp that they would build in order to transport the Sar HaMishtaleach on Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Yuma says that the Bavlim would pull out his hair. The fellow who would take the Sar to the Midbar would pull out his hair. Hurry up! Don't stay around. Don't leave the Averis here. So in order to avoid the aggressive Bavlim, they built a special ramp so that he's safe in his own territory. V'loshen shebein karnov, how would they fund the loshen, this red woolen material strung between the horns of the Sar Mishtaleach, v'amas hamayim, and the stream running through the Azorah, v'chaymos irim de l'sel, the walls and the forts, the towers around Yerushalayim, v'chotzor chayir, and all other municipal needs. All these things were funded from where? Bo'en mishir alishka, the leftover money, the Lishka. You see, even Yerushalayim needs are Migdash carbon related somewhat, because the carbonos are eaten throughout Yerushalayim, Kachem Kalam at least. Therefore, it made sense to use the Shiur Alishka for the municipal needs of Yerushalayim. So it's interesting, Yerushalayim is like an international city. It was funded by Yisrael from all over the world. Abba Sholoymer, he takes one exception. Kevesh Para, that you mentioned, the one for the Paraduma, Kehanim Gedolim Oisin Mishal Atzma. The Kehanim Gedolim would construct it using their own funds. This way it was considered theirs and identified with them. So this was the Minhag. Continues the Mishnah. We're going to have several other monies. We're going to have to figure out their designated use. They're going to be Moisoris, leftovers. Leftovers from what? Several types. We have the Trumas Halishka, and then we're going to have Moisor Trumas Halishka. Suppose, at the end of the day, they have some left over in those buckets which were used for Trumas Halishka. They withdrew money in those buckets. Well, there's some money left over there. What do you do with that? It's called Moisa Truma. What do you do with Moisa Shiyara Lishka? After they tended to the needs of Yerushalayim, there's some money left over in the Lishka. What do you do with that? It says the Mishnah, Moisa Shiyara Lishka, Mahoyu Oysen Ben. Loichen Ben Yenois Shmona Muslosis. You purchase with them wine, oil, flour, v'aschal ha'hekdesh. You engage in a business venture. You sell it to the Yisroel who need these things for the karbanis, and the profit goes to Hekdesh. So that's what you do with the Moiser Shiyor Elishka, Div Rebishmo. Rebikiva Ayman, no, Ein Meir Shtakrim Lo Bishal Hekdesh. it's not appropriate to use hegdish money for business ventures. It appears like hegdish is short money. You don't do that. Af le mishal anim. E mistaka mishal hegdish. Af le mishal anim. Likewise, you wouldn't do that with stakka money. Gemara later speaks about a svara that, you know, the investment might go sour. You don't want to take chances. You don't use hegdish or aniyah money for these purposes. So Rabbi Akiva negated this whole concept of Rabbi Shmuel. That's not what you meant to do with the shiur alishka. Continues the Mishnah. What about Maisar HaTruma? So you have these buckets in which you withdrew money from the lishka, truma salishka, which was meant for kabanis, right? And you have money left over there now. You have a dilemma because you can't just use it for anything. This money was designated for carbon use. It acquired a higher status. It was destined for something higher. So you have to be careful with its use. Moisir atzurah mehayu oisimba. So according to Tanakama, this is what you do with it. Rikuye zov. He purchased gold plates. Tzipui lebeis kodesh kadoshim, which was used to plate the walls of the kodesh kadosh. That was the sheet of Tanakama. Moisir truma, gold plates. Rabbi Shmuel Aimer, Moisir haperis ketam esbeach. The prophet brought into the Migdash on account of that business venture that he discussed earlier, that's used to supply the Mizbeach with extra karbonis, oila, kaita Mizbeach, like a dessert. When the Mizbeach was sitting idle, they would add these karbonis, oila, and was purchased from these monies, profited by that business venture. Moisir truma, leftovers in the truma salishka, according to Bishmol, was meant likli sharis, to purchase likle sharis, the vessels used for the karbonis. So according to him, klisharis are close enough to carbon, accessories to the carbon, they're serving the carbon, therefore it's appropriate to use the leftover funds from the truma salishka for this purpose. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Moisar, see Rabbi Akiva and the upcoming Shita Rabbi Hananya both disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel's idea of buying and selling for profit in Beis HaMikdash. So according to them, there was no such a thing as Moisar HaPeiros, which Rabbi Shmuel alluded to, because there is no Peiros at all. There's no profiteering from Mammon HaKadosh. The only thing we do have is Moisar Truma, left over in the Truma Salishka, and also something called Moisar Nesach. More later will explain that many times there was some Nesachim left over at the end of the year, some extra flour, etc. So what do you do with that? Rabbi Akiva Omer Moisar Truma L'Ketzah Mizbeach. He holds leftover Truma Salishka is used to purchase carbonis in the Mizbeach. Truma is for carbon, and therefore it's meant to be used for carbon. Moisar Nesachim L'Klei Sharis. If there was any leftover Nesachim, that's converted into funds to purchase Klei Sharis. Rabbi Hanan Iskan Akalim Omer, he's going to switch things around. Just the opposite. We speak about two types of leftover monies. Moisar Truma Salishka, Moisar Nesachim. I say just the opposite. Moisar Nesachim Makaita Mizbeach. The leftover Nesachim goes for the karbanis. Because according to him, the two things are similar in nature. Nesachim is something completely brought on the Mizbeach. You pour the wine, everything goes on the Mizbeach without any leftovers. Therefore, it's appropriate to be used for something similar. Kaita Mizbeach, Oila, which is completely burnt in the Mizbeach. Moisar Truma L'Klei Sharis. Leftover from Truma Salishka, that's used L'Klei Sharis to buy the Klei Sharis, which are close enough to carbon. Zevazen, now, if you notice, Rabbi Akiva and Hanani both omitted any mention of Peiros, profits coming in from that business venture. Zevazen, both of them, lo yo yomoidim of Peiros. They disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel's suggestion to use the extra monies for bringing in profits. They didn't agree with that, and therefore they didn't make any mention of that. The only thing they mentioned was Moisar Truma Salishka and Moisar Nesach. Before we continue, lest we get confused, let's just summarize the shittas. We have different types of money. Truma Salishka, according to all shittas, the money withdrawn from the lishka was meant to be used for Karbanas Tzibur. That's agreed upon by all. Any leftovers, Shiur Alishka, that was meant for all types of sort of municipal needs, the ramps and the walls of the city. And again, agreed upon by all. The question is regarding Moisaris, leftover monies. We have four categories. Moisar Truma Salishka, according to Tanakama, gold plates for the Kodesh HaKadosh. According to Rishmol, he purchased Klisharis. According to Rekiva, went to Ketam Mizbeach, because Trumas Halishka was meant for karbonis. Therefore, oila is the most appropriate thing to purchase with that money. Koinem Hananya was used for clay shows. Leftover Shiyari Halishka, meaning after Trumas Halishka was taken, you have the Shiyari Halishka, the leftovers. You use it for municipal needs described earlier. There's some money left over. Rishmo made mention of that, and he says that's meant to purchase peris, meaning wine and oil and flour, to be used to profit the Hekdesh as a business venture. The other Tanaim did not make mention of the Shiore, of the Moise Shiore Lishka. What about Moise Nesachim? Which means at the end of the year you get some leftover Nesachim. What do you do with that? Rekiva and Chanani both mentioned that. According to Rekiva, you use it to buy Kli Sharis. According to Chananya, since Nesachim are completely on the Mizbeach, therefore it's appropriate to use them for Kaitza Mizbeach, for Oilus in the Mizbeach. Regarding Moise Peris, those profits brought in through that business venture, as something only Rabbi Shmuel agrees with, he holds that is used to purchase the Kaitza Mizbeach. Continues the Gemara, Kevesh Paro, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rabbi Shem Bienes, and said like this. We mentioned this red thread, this red wad of combed wool. We actually find three times in Torah that this type of things was used. And each one had its own designation, its own size and weight, depending on its function. Gimel l'shoinesein, there are three different types. Shal soyer, the one used for the sorem shaleach. Pesela, had to be large in size, had to weigh a sela. Why? Because Gemara Yuma tells us they used to split into two parts. They used to hang on the soyer, part on a rock, and then it would turn white. So it needs to be considerably sized to allow for splitting and distribution. That's the way of selling. Shal Metzura, the one used by the Metzura, that could be small and significantly sized, be shekel, as long as it weighs a shekel, because it was simply used to be dipped into the blood and spritz with it. It didn't have to be large in size. Shal Parah B'Shtei Selaim, the one used for the Paraduma, had to be really heavy, weigh two sela, because that had to have weight to fall into the fire. Rabbi Chunya, Divras Chavrin, Rabbi Chunya from Bras Chavrin said that Rabbi Ba Bar Zavda said in the name of B'Shem Rabbi Shem Machalavta, Shal Parah B'Shtei Selaim Amechza. Need to be 2.5 slime in weight, which is actually 10 zuz, because each cell is 10 zuz. Viz the Mapkin Lishka, and some had it in a different version, Masara zuz. They said straight out 10 zuz. It's really the same as 2.5 cella, but you know, the Gemara tells us that a person is meant to relate a halacha accurately the way his Rebbe said it, and that's why they chose to say Asara zuz, which was the lashon of the Rebbe. So we have three different types of wools and three different types of weights, depending on the use and designation. Now we're going to have a list of individuals who are on the Trumas Halishka payroll. Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Rabbi Shmuel, he said like this, Talmidei Chachamim, who were in Yerushalayim, ha-melamdin es ha-gehanim milchah shechita, who were engaged in instructing the kehanim their halachis of shechita, halachis kabbalah, how to be makabal adam, hilchis zrika, to do the zrika. So they gave instructions, they taught Torah to the kehanim, noitlin schorim Trumas Halishka. They would get paid from the Trumas Halishka because they were serving the karbonis. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Radifa, b'shem Rabbi Imi, he said, Mevakri Mumri Kachim, those individuals engaged in inspecting the karbonis from blemishes, since they were also servicing the karbonis, their wages would also come from the Trumas Halishka. Noitun Scharm, the Trumas Halishka. Rabbi Achar, b'tanchem Marchia, b'shem Rabbi Salai, said, Megiya Sefer Azara, the ones that were engaged in editing the Sefer Torah in the Azara, which was used by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Here again, this fellow was on public payroll. Noitlin Scharim, Trumas Halishka, they would get their funding from Trumas Halishka. Another example is, Gidol Bar Minyam and Hashem Rabbi Asi, Shnei Dayanik Zeles. In Yerushalayim, there were two Dayanim involved in preventing thievery. They would make Zeres and Takanas to avoid Zela. And that also benefited the Beis HaMikdash, so that you don't bring a carbon which is not yours. Noitlin Scharim and Trumas Halishka. They will get paid from Trumas Halishka money. Now Tosis and Ksuvis asks, well, teaching Torah is not meant to earn a salary, meant to teach Torah for free. So he says this was their exclusive occupation and they were serving the community's needs. That's why they were rightfully paid through the public fund. Says the Gemara, what about the ones that would produce the peroiches? I was speaking about a unique curtain which was between the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadosh. Now we know during the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall there. But during the second Beis HaMikdash, there was some confusion as to the status of that space. The Chacham were unsure whether the actual space where the wall used to stand was it considered part of the inside, part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or part of the Heichal. They weren't sure. It was called the Amatraxon. It was wide and Amma, and it straddled both sides. They weren't sure which area it belonged to. Therefore, they created a pareches, actually two pareches, two curtains, one on either side of that space. This way it was right in the middle, and it was uncommitted to either side. So it's interesting that this was merely a parech, it was a curtain, which is really transferable. It was transportable. It was really mobile, something which was only temporary. It was like a cleat. But think of it. It came in the place of a binyan instead of a wall. So the question is, what status does it have? Is it like kli shoris, or is it like a binyan? Is it part of the building? What's the difference? How do we fund it? Do we fund it like we fund the rest of the building from the Bedek HaBayis, the maintenance fund? Because the pareches here is regarded like part of the building structure, or is it merely like a kli? And as we learned in the Mishnah, the kli shoris are funded differently. So we have machlokes. Shmuel Omar, noshima ergas bepareches, the women who would weave the pareches, noitlin schorim mitrumas alishka, they would be funded through the trumas alishka. Rabbi Chuna Omar, no, mitrumas bedek habayis, from the building maintenance fund. My public, what's the basis of the machlokes? Shmuel, Avadla, there's a girsa kikalim. He treated it like a kli, and therefore he held. It's funded using the Trumas Alishka money. Whereas Rav Huna, or Rav Huna, Avadla kibinyan, he treated it like a building, like part of the structure, because it came in place of a building, and therefore it was funded through Bedek HaBayis. Amar Rabbi Cheske, Tana, we learned in the Brisa, Tana Rabbi Yehuda Gadus, that was his name. Tana, he taught. What did he teach? He gave us a rundown of many items and taught us how to fund them. Haktoris, Bechol Kabarnes HaTzibur, Boin with Tumas Alishka, was funded through Tumas Alishka. Mizbeach HaZov. So it's interesting, although it was Mizbeach, but it was portable, so it has been like a Kli. Bechol Kli Shores, Boin, Mimoysen Nasachem. How do we purchase that? Using the leftover of the Nesachim. He's in line with the Sheet of Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah, that Maitha Nesachim is meant for Kli Shavs. Mizbeach HaOyla, which was something of permanence, was a structure. Vaheichel, Vahazoris, Boin, and we have a Gersa on the side, Boin, Mi Bedek HaBayis. That was funded through the Bedek HaBayis fund, because this was part of the structure. He used the building fund for that. Chutz la'azoris, things outside the azoris, for instance, the city walls, boin mishiyore, the gerus of boin mishiyore, halishka. You funded that expense using the leftovers in the lishka. As we mentioned now, Mishnah, that the, for instance, the walls of Yerushalayim were funded using the shiyore halishka. Says the Gemara, is that so? That the walls of Yerushalayim were funded in this manner. V'atani, Wilmington and Brysa, Avne Yerushalayim, that's the gears on the side, the Vilnagoyen's gears, Avne Yerushalayim, Ha'echel Vazoris, Moyalman. If one should inappropriately benefit from these things, he chips off a rock, he does Me'ila. Now let's think for a second. Me'ila is only if one benefits from something which has real Kedusha, which has a higher level of Kedusha. But leftover money in the Lishka, that wasn't any longer designated for Karbanis. There's no Me'ila there. V'chiyesh Me'ila b'Shirayim? Does Me'ila apply to leftover money? And since the Shirayim were used to fund the walls of Yerushalayim, there's no Me'ila involved. Says my Elkar Rameyer. No, following Rameyer Shita, Rameyer Omar Ma'al b'Shirayim. He holds that even the leftover monies in the Lishka, since they were designated as a backup, just in case you run out of Trumas Lishka funds, so they also have sort of a carbon designation to them, and there's Me'ila involved. So according to Rameh, we understand this halacha. The Shiur Alishka has Me'ila. Therefore, since it was used to build the walls of Yerushalayim, if one inappropriately benefits from the walls of Yerushalayim, it does Me'ila. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't work. Why? Amar Rav Chiya klum, Amar Rav Meir. Yeah, when did Rav Meir say there's me'ilah to shirayim? Because it's considered a backup fund for the karbanos. Ela b'teich shnosei. If it's within this year, v'achachutz l'shnosei anon kaimen. But here we're standing past year. It's 100 years later. Meaning, Rav Meir says, even the shirayim are meant to be used at worst case scenario when we run out of funds. You can use the shrine for the karbanis. But think of it. Once the year is over, you can no longer use that money for this year's karbanis. Because every year had a new supply. So once Nisan of the next year arrives, all agree, any leftover monies have no me'ilah, they have no longer a karban designation to them. So 10 years later, the walls of Yerushalayim should not have me'ilah. We leave it as a kash. One more gemara. Om Rab Chizkiya Tana Rabbi Yehuda Gad Gedanias. So he told us as follows. When we bring a carbon to Beis HaMikdash, must all the kelim be in place? Are they ma'akev? Must everything be configured properly? HaShulchan v'amanoir v'amizbechis v'aporeches ma'akev v'mesakarbonis divrei Meir kontra Meir. If one of these items are not in place, are not around, it disqualifies the carbon. You can't bring a carbon in that manner. Everything has to be intact in place. No, the only thing that disqualifies a carbon is Ella, and there's gears on the side. Karkoiv Iker. These are different parts of the Mizbeach, meaning the Mizbeach has to be positioned in place, properly configured with all its elements. The corner, the ramp, everything has to be there. So only the Mizbeach, which is the focal point of the Beis HaMikdash, focal point of the carbon, has to be in place. Says the Gemara, V'loikein, Amar Belezer, Rabbi Yosef Rechanina. We have two Amarim, Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Chanina, who seem to state otherwise. And their halacha, their shita, seems to be inconsistent with the Rabbanim, who only insist on the Mizbeach being in place. Why? Where do we see that they disagree? Tarvei and Amin, because they both said, Kol hein dichsiv noichach ma'akev. Any kli on which the Torah refers to, Torah uses the term noichach, for instance, the menorah, it says, place the menorah noichach ha-shulchan, ma'akev. That indicates permanence. It's meant to be there, it belongs there, and if you don't have it, you can't bring a carbon to mikdash. So only the menorah. Sela in a ma'akev. But the Torah uses the word tzela, like the shulchan. It says, shulchan titin el tzela tzafayin on the tzafan side. That's not so integrally connected to Beis HaMikdash. It's not miyak. That's their shita, only the benar. V'amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonason, v'afilu tzela makke, even the shulchan is makke. V'amar Rabbi Ilo b'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, v'afilu sima makke. All those kelim, the arayin, the pareches, mizbech, where the Torah uses the word sima, put it there. It says v'yosem, he put it there. Which indicates that it's connected. It's part and parcel. It's an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash configuration. It's ma'ak of the carbon. So either it's the menorah, or the menorah and the shulchan, or all these other kelim, are ma'akev. How does this work with the Rabbanon, who just told us only mizbeach is ma'akev? Aram Chanina, it depends what we're speaking about. Kan ba'avoides shebifnim. The karbanis, the avoides, which took place inside, meaning in the heichal kodesh hakodashim. Yeah, over there, all these kelim are ma'akev. Kan ba'avoides shebichutz. Chachamim, who told us only the Mizbeach is Ma'akev, they were referring to the Avodas outside the Heichal, and the Azor. Over there, all you need is Mizbeach, which is the primary feature of the external part of the Beis HaMikdash, and everything else is not Ma'akev. Okay, let's make a quick Chazar of today's daf. Regarding Karbanis Tzibur, Chacham say, don't donate your own. We're concerned you might not give it over completely. Rabbi Yisrael says, no concern. He'll give it over wholeheartedly. That's when it comes to karbanis. What about machshiri karban, things which are merely accessories to a karban, firewood, or the bitte kahuna? The Gemara concludes, according to all shittes, rest assured he'll give it over wholeheartedly. Rishmo told us that the Imer and Shtei Lechem only brought from Eretz Yisrael supply, and the Gemara tells us how to pay the wages for the workers. We take the money, we transfer the kedusha on something tangible, and then pay back the banker. The Tumas HaLishka money, all agree, was for Kabanis Tzibur. The money left behind the Lishka was used for all types of municipal needs. Leftover monies in the Trumas HaLishka itself, we have four shittas. Leftover in the Lishka, after you already used for all your needs, Kodim Shmol was used to purchase material to profit Hegdish. Leftover Nesachim, we have two shittas. Kodim Shmol, the profit earned, was used for Ketzah Mizbeach. We discussed three different types of woolen threads and their respective weights, depending on their designation. We have a list of individuals who were paid by the Trumas HaLishka. We had a machlokes regarding the Pareches. Do we treat it like a kli, like a binyan? We learned that the Avoda and the Azara, over there, according to Rabban, all you needed was the Mizbeach intact. Regarding Avodas Mifneim, some say even the Menorah, some say the Shulchan as well, and some say all those Kalim were required to qualify for Hakrovas Pneim. Kol Tov and Hatzlacha Rabba to you.